Welcome back to the Forgotten ECE, the podcast that shines a light on the realities of working in ECE, specifically before and after school education. I'm your host, Jimmy Wagler. Thanks so much for joining me. Today, we're going to tackle a topic that every educator, I think, I would assume, has experienced: handling big emotions in school-age children. We all know children often hold in their emotions throughout the school day, and by the time they reach the before and after school program, they may be exhausted, probably overstimulated, and could be even dealing with something that happened earlier. So how do we support them with those big emotions when they all come flooding out? Today, I'm going to share proactive strategies and in-the-moment responses to help you navigate these challenges. I hope you're ready for a ride.
Welcome to the Forgotten ECE, the show where before and after school educators, summer camp and PD staff, and CYWs have a place where they are seen, heard, and valued. I'm your host, Jamie Wagler, and I am so excited you're here.
Okay, happy Sunday, if you're listening to me on Sunday. Thanks for joining me today. I'm hoping that when this is released, that it's actually super sunny and nice out because I'm in Shepherd, Ontario, which I'm sure I said before, but in case I didn't, that's where I'm at. And I am so tired of the snow and the cold and the grossness. And I'm sure if you're listening, you might be too, or maybe you've never actually experienced snow and you think it's really great. So, I mean, kudos to you, and you can have some anytime you want to. But I'm over it. I'm ready for the hot. I'm ready for the summer. I'm ready for the spring. With that, I wanted to bring to you understanding big emotions in school-age children because it happens. And we're about to head into my favorite season, like school season, the second half of the year, the after March break half, where we have March break. And then we have only a couple months left until summer. If you listened to me last season, you know that summer and March break are my favorite because we have the kids there all day and they just thrive. So anyways, I digress. I thought it was a perfect time to bring out an episode on understanding big emotions in school-age children because some of you might be leading camps and need a little help with those big emotions. And then always a good time any other time of year to tackle this topic. Before we get into strategies, I want to just take a second to look at why big emotions show up. Some common reasons probably include holding it together all day and finally feeling safe enough to release the emotions in our environment, feeling overwhelmed by the transition between a structured and unstructured time of day, social and peer conflicts or issues, difficulties with friendships. It's so hard. Sensory overload, there could be too much noise, too much activity, too much stimulation. Goodness knows when they get into that room, they are wired. And everyone is seeing each other sometimes for the first time a day as different grades combine, and it gets a little nutty. And then also personal struggles at home or in school. As ECEs, our role isn't to fix these emotions, but it's to guide children in understanding and managing them. The key here, and I want to be specific, and I want you to take this away, if nothing else today, the key is co-regulation. Helping children feel safe and supported before expecting them to self-regulate. I cannot stress this enough that I know adults that don't know how to self-regulate. How can we expect children to self-regulate when they haven't learned to regulate at all? We can't. Let's guide them. That's our job, is to guide them. And to show them how, and we can do that by co-regulating. Let's just look at proactive strategies and setting our kids up for success. Let's start with the strategies that help prevent these emotional overwhelms before it even happens. My first suggestion is emotion check-ins. At the beginning of your program, do a quick emotional check-in. This can be as simple as asking, hey, how are you feeling today? Or using a mood meter where kids point to a color that represents their emotion. When kids feel seen and heard, they're more likely to regulate their emotions before they escalate. It's also a great way to contribute to that connection building and belonging feeling that we so aspire to have. Also, building emotional literacy. Help kids name and understand their emotion. use books and storytelling or role playing to talk about feelings and ways to handle them. And for younger school age, visuals with different facial expressions can be helpful. I love story time, even for school agers. Get them involved in telling the story. Get them involved in reading the story. It's a great way to build that trusting relationship. I also want you to think about and challenge you to create a calm environment. I know it's not easy. And depending on your, we'll call it a situation, where you're set up in the school, it could be even harder. But try to design and designate a quiet corner where children can take a break if they need to, where you can equip it with stress balls, breathing cards, or soft seating, and let kids know it's okay to step away when they need to be regulated or when they need to regulate. Predictability and transitions is going to help. Sudden changes can be triggered by big emotions. Use visual schedules, use some countdowns, or my favorite, transition songs to help move from one activity to another smoothly. Offering choices like, would you like to clean up now or in 2 minutes? Or I see there's a watermelon and a pear on the floor. Are you picking up the watermelon first or are you picking up the pear first? Saying, oh, what color block are you picking up first? Or are you picking up the blue block first or the red block first? This gives children a sense of control and makes it less likely that they're going to push back when giving them that choice. Now, I want to shift focus a little bit to in the moment strategies, responding when big emotions arise, despite all of our best efforts. And I know our efforts are best. Big emotions are still going to happen. Let's go over some common scenarios and how to handle them. The first one I'm thinking is the after school meltdown. A child arrives at your program and immediately starts crying, refusing to join activities. Your response should be to stay calm. Validate their feelings. You can say something like, I see that you're really upset. It's okay to feel that way. Offer them some space. You could say something like, would you like to sit here for a bit or would you like to take a walk with me? And then also focus on grounding techniques such as encouraging deep breaths, counting to 10, or even squeezing a stress ball. This will take the focus off the action and take the focus off the big transition that they just had and will help them relax into the space. That'll also provide that trusting, caring adult relationship that we want. Okay, scenario two. Two children start arguing and voices get louder. This is a funny one that I came up with. It's not that funny, but it's funny because I'm loud. So every time I go into a room, my educators here, and I call them my educators. They're not my educators. I don't own them. But the educators that work at my center know that when I come in a room, I tend to get everyone riled up because I'm so loud. But anyways, two children start arguing and voices get louder. You want to step in calmly. I see you two are upset. Let's take a deep breath together. You also want to focus on those I statements. I felt sad when you took the ball because I wanted to play. Guide them towards the resolution. What can we do to solve this together? By giving children these tools and walking them through this process, they will know and eventually learn for next time that this is a great way to problem solve. Soon, they will not need you to step in right away. Soon, they'll be able to focus at least on some of these steps together and solve the problem on their own. I am not saying that when you see a conflict that you have to step in right away. Stay close, monitor what's happening, and use your discretion when you're stepping in because sometimes they will figure it out themselves. My last scenario I wanted to talk about was struggling with transitions. A child resists cleaning up or moving on to the next activity. I'm seeing this a lot when it's time to go outside or time to go to the gym or time to go home, where children are just having so much fun or they just feel like they are not done playing and they don't want to tidy up and move on to the next thing. First and foremost, I want you to think about your program. I want you to think about the flexibility you have within your program and what you can do within that time frame to be flexible, because I am all for children following their interests and staying engaged. And if that means you A, bring what they're playing from inside outside or outside inside, by all means do it. If that means offering snack to the room, but not making everyone tidy up and have snack, by all means do it. And if you are lucky enough to have more than one educator and one can take half out and the other can stay inside, by all means do it. Let children guide the program. If you still can't avoid this transition, or it's one of those transitions that you can't avoid or just fix with flexibility, give a warning before your transitions. In 5 minutes, we're tidying up. And I don't mean just say it out loud. I mean, set a clock or set an hourglass or something visual that they can see the time is counting down. Then offer a small choice. Would you like to clean the blocks up or the art supplies? Last, acknowledge the feelings. I know it's hard to stop playing. I can help you clean up if you'd like. Or we're allowed to feel disappointed for having to clean up. But this is what we're going to do next. Overall, I think the best thing we can do as educators, and I will say this till I'm blue in the face, is reflective strategies. Once the moment passes, once we handle a situation like this, I think the best thing to do is reflect for both the child and the educator. For the child, ask open-ended questions. What happened? How did it feel? What could you do differently next time? Or what could we do differently next time? And then encourage them to think of a calming strategy for future situations. For yourself as an educator, I want you to reflect on what worked and what didn't work. Did the child need more transition support? Were they overtired or hungry? Take care of your own emotions. Supporting big emotions can be draining. Finding ways to recharge and debrief with colleagues if needed is definitely necessary. When you think of a child, whether or not they're overtired or hungry and this situation happens, I want you to think about good old Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If your bases aren't filled, you're never going to move up. This is the same for us. If our cup is empty, you can't pour from it. You can't help someone work through their emotions if you're having big emotions or if you're drained already. I want you to remember that handling big emotions isn't about eliminating them. It's about guiding children through them with connection and with patience. When we create an environment of emotional safety, kids learn lifelong self-regulation skills. If you found today's episode helpful, I'd love for you to share it with a fellow educator or leave a review. And if you have strategies or experiences to share, connect with me on social media. I would love to hear from you. Thanks so much for tuning in to The Forgotten ECE. Until next time, keep making a difference and happy learning.
Thank you, amazing listeners, for your support. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at @MissJamie_RECE. Give a star rating and leave a review. Have something you want to hear about in relation to before and after school programs or full day summer camp? DM me or comment. Again, thank you so much and happy learning. Thank you.